to you from the tops of the Rocky Mountains. And our guest tonight is Grandfather Red Elk. But before we introduce him, I'd like to tell you about this week's sponsor. Is Secrets of an Immortal by Ben Abba. What if you met a man who was 2,800 years old? What questions would you ask him about history, religion? Would you want to learn his secrets of immortality? I went looking for the oldest person alive on Earth today. I wanted to find out from them what they eat and what they do to accomplish such a long and healthy life. To my absolute shock, I located and made contact with a man whose real physical age is nearly 2,800 years old. Would you like to know more about the story on how I found such a remarkable man and what stories he had to tell about the unwritten history of our Western civilization? I'm writing a series of books to detail this man's life, his experiences, and his secrets of immortality, starting with book one titled Secrets of an Immortal, an eyewitness account of 2,800 years of history. Now, the website for Ben Abba is secrets-of-n-immortal.com, or you can go to prophecykeepers.com and click on the banner at the top of the page. Would also like to tell you a little bit about the mission of the White Roots of Peace Council. The mission of the White Roots of Peace Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and Iroquois White Roots of Peace Gathering elders of the 1950s and 60s in sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace through the worldwide realization of our ancient common global relatedness. This transmission of prophecies was prophesied in the Hopi prophecies to occur once the House of Micah of the United Nations was built and later visited by the original prophecy keepers, and their further instructions differed whether they were allowed to speak or not. They were effectively barred from speaking at the United Nations because they were only allowed to speak when no one of importance was listening. Since they were barred from speaking at the House of Micah, their original set of instructions stated that they were to use any means necessary to get the messages out. The original Prophecy Keeper elders are mostly all dead now. Matter of fact, the last one, I think, was Dan Evahema. And they stated themselves that Purification Day would closely follow their death, but a few adopted sons and daughters still remain to carry on, and we're up in our 50s and 40s and 60s. But these prophecy messages are of utmost importance to the future of our planet, when very few survivors of the final Holocaust will eventually meet each other, and the differences between them need to be minimized so that life may go on in a peaceful manner. Our guest this evening is Grandfather Red Elk. How are you tonight, Grandfather?
I'm pretty good, and boy, I tell you, you'll never find any woman saying she's that old. There ain't no woman on earth that'll tell you, okay?
Yeah, you're not kidding.
No, that's yeah. Anyway, I don't know if that guy's that old. I know immortality is quite within anybody's grasp. We don't have to die when, you know, we only die at our own command, at our own inner deep will. And that's it. I don't know, Dad, in the good word, says that in this day and age, 130 years is the average, supposed to be the average lifespan. So, yeah, anyway, it's interesting.
I can believe that. I really can. Well, it's been about a month, I guess, or 2-3 weeks since last we spoke. We're getting ready to elect a new president of the United States of America. And I don't know, you know, there's one fellow that was prominent in Mormon prophecy by the name of Loren Woolley. And Loren had some interesting things happen to him. You can, if you're interested, you can email me. But his attitude was, hey, let's get it over with. And so, and of course, he was active in Mormon prophecy circles back in the 30s. And he just said, hey, if you want, he says, let's do everything we can this might have been a crappy attitude, but he said, let's do everything we can to get there so we can get it over with. So he said, my advice is vote for FDR. So I don't know what to tell people. I don't think either side's, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. The country's headed down the toilet, unfortunately. But there's Sun Bear wrote a book called Black Dawn, Bright Day. I think that kind of said it all. So, well, that's more than I used.
I was showing in my great vision not only what's coming up if we don't change, but what's beyond the Armageddon. And, you know, the world starts all over again, you know, repopulate the earth once again. And but Christ reigns for 1,000 years. And then Lucifer is let loose to kind of willow out the chaff again. And the real end of the world, per se, is well over 2,000 years from Armageddon.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's amazing when Lucifer returns and starts getting his claws in the people that, well, Christ rules with a rod of iron. That has to mean that not everybody's for him, doesn't it? There's a lot of self.
Yeah. Well, the estimate that I was reading on about Daniel's timeline, and by the way, folks, Daniel's Timeline, I think it's danielstimeline.com, is a really good website. If you can afford to get the DVD, get it. Because, well, give you an example. My daughter-in-law was here, a couple of months ago, and I was telling her about this theory that the Orthodox Jews came up with in 2000. And she was pretty skeptical. You know, she kind of fancied herself a knowledgeable Christian, and 2.5 hours later, after she finished watching the video, she was convinced. But the figure that the Bible math says, I think it's about 3,800, it's about 1,800 years from now, something like that. It's it's interesting. But Daniel's timeline puts the beginning of the millennium at 2018. And if you ever watch the video, I think it would convince you, because it is very strong, the strongest scriptural evidence, 7 layers deep. It's really interesting. What do you think about that scenario, Red Elk?
Beats me. I really don't know. It. All I can tell you, I'm not a seer. I don't consider myself a prophet. I consider myself a reporter, and I can only report what I've been shown, you know. And so I don't know, but I know it's 2012 or whatever. Number one, it's not the end of the earth, and it's not. Mm-hmm. It's maybe more the. Center of war, or the very strong, strong edge, beginning edge of Armageddon, I don't know, but,
Well, have you ever heard of Penn and Teller, the magicians that debunk all kinds of things?
Is that the guy that's got $1 million for somebody?
Yeah, well, that's somebody else, but Penn and Teller, they're an old magic team, and, anyway, they are in Vegas all the time. They're on TV once in a while, and they debunk things. Anyway, I got a call from one of their producers about a month ago, saying that they wanted to debunk, and I started clapping, and I said, yay, you know. In my comments, I said, before you even get started, I'll tell you what Hunbot's men told me 3 years ago, which was, he says, and no disrespect to white folks, but he says these authors come in here and they learn to read, you know, 5, 10, 20% of the glyphs. He says we know all of them, and he said Jesus, just tell everyone at 2012, he says all we know is there's going to be a mighty change.
That's right.
And he says the severity of punishment, he says it could be either easy or hard, and that's alluded to in the Bible when it talks about childbirth. The pangs could be light or really bad depending on the shape of the people on the planet. And so the best thing you and I can do to save, I mean, you and I might be saving, the ripples that you and I are sending out right now maybe save millions or even billions of lives in the future, because we're here to help people get in tune with what's coming, to learn so they don't have a lot of fear. And and you and I don't know how you feel about this right now, but you've got a connection with Creator. I do too, but I'm still scared because nobody likes change.
Well, I'm not afraid of change. It matter of a ball. But
me too.
What concerns me is are the children, who are really in the end paying for what the adults of the world are doing, and the hell and suffering these kids. I mean, all of them are going through it, but the kids, they're so innocent of it and don't really deserve it, but they're going to get it because everybody's bringing it on everybody's head.
Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to get a man or one like unto Moses will be coming. And what the Bible indicates is that the world, the people that Creator chooses, or they choose to go through into the next world, will go into tribulation like they did, the Hebrews did during the Exodus. So, and it makes it interesting that all these indigo children are being born right now, and I'm thinking, wow, their parents might be, totally spiritually unaware or even reprobates, but these kids are unbelievably spiritually oriented, and my sweetheart Laura is one of these people. And all of her children, and I recommend people look into the concept. What do you think of this concept of indigo children?
I'm divided on that. I really have. I've met a number, and some are a couple of buddies that were in their very early 20s, 22 mm-hmm. or less. And full of questions that, were flooring me. And I asked them, where'd you come from, And I'm really divided. Are they, in a sense, of God or literally inbred alien type? I just don't know.
I think.
And I find there seems to be at least the possibility of two types. So I just don't
know. Yeah, see, I don't know that much about the subject. I just I've got a movie here called Indigo Child, and the portrayal in this movie was that they're extremely intellectually active. I'm talking, and there's so much going on in their minds that they kind of need to be in a meditative state. And if you kind of interrupt that, I've got a little bit of that around the edges. I used to be a real a-hole about it, and if I was doing something and people bothered me, that's what my dad did, and I had to unlearn all kinds of behaviors anyway, we won't go there. But they're kind of detached, and they're in their own little world. Even when they spend, the ones I know and in the movie spend a lot of time in the room. Had a lot of art and art books around him, and so I'll stop talking.
Yeah. Anyway, they're a phenomena to me, and well beyond their years, well beyond my years, and I'm 23.
You know, I'm sitting here.
But,
you know, I think we passed time or our first break. Yeah, Don, why don't you roll them, keep them doggies rolling.
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart, keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, oh yeah. Look inside the rainbow, look inside the heart, deep in the mountain stillness, echoes of.
Friends, January 1, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric measurements at a regional United States government facility. If you do not comply with the Real ID Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Recently, some people caught driving illegally have been tortured with tasers before being arrested by the New World Order police state. If you cannot legally drive, will you be able to work? To buy? To sell? Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast, as it was described thousands of years ago in Revelations chapter 13. At survivalismskills.com, learn about the Hopi Elders 10-point plan for your survival. Learn Native American survival skills at survivalismskills.com. Download your free copy of Nuclear War Survival Skills from Oak Ridge Laboratories today at survivalismskills.com. Visit survivalismskills.com today.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about that commercial? You know, every time I play that, I see uniformed SWAT team coming through the door. Kind of like at the beginning of, that movie, The Stand. Did you ever see that movie? Stephen King's movie, The Stand, read out?
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart, keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, oh yeah. Look inside the rainbow, look inside the heart, deep in the mountain stillness, echoes.
Friends, January 1, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric measurements at a regional United States government facility. If you do not comply with the Real ID Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Recently, some people caught driving illegally have been tortured with tasers before being arrested by the New World Order police state. If you cannot legally drive, will you be able to work? To buy? To sell? Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast, as it was described thousands of years ago in Revelations chapter 13. At survivalismskills.com, learn about the Hopi Elders 10-point plan for your survival. Learn Native American survival skills at survivalismskills.com. Download your free copy of Nuclear War Survival Skills from Oak Ridge Laboratories today at survivalismskills.com. Visit survivalismskills.com today.
Back, folks. Sorry about that. This is the first time we were trying a different system, and apparently my connection was broken. But you're back with Prophecy Keepers Radio. This is Blue Otter. Grandfather Red Elk's with us. Now, you had a message, and then you wanted to take some calls?
Are you talking to me? You're so far off, it's hard to hear. Tell John to...
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay, so you had a few words you wanted to say before we start taking calls.
Right. Please. I want everybody to understand. I'm anti-Mormon. I'm anti-Catholic. I'm anti-Protestant. I'm anti-Muslim. I'm anti-Buddhist. I'm anti-religion, is what I'm saying. And, so anyway, and yet all of them have good within them. So I understand that. But, boy, I tell you, don't anybody get the idea. I'm, you know, we started right out talking about Mormonism and, I'm sorry. I love people, but I don't love religion. So I just want everybody to know that.
Yeah, well, he was a renegade. He was a renegade Mormon. And he was involved with teaching that someday there'd be a future Indian prophet that would lead the Mormon people back in the direction they were supposed to be going in. But,
I got this upcoming seminar just outside of Provo there, and 14th and 15th, and I'm going to be a Mormon country, but evidently a Mormon gentleman. I don't know even if he is Mormon, but he sure knows a lot about the Mormon book, and he does all kinds of study in Hebrew studies and stuff. He's quite an intelligent man. And he's going to talk here, but I want people, because he's got something to say, something I think Mormon and non-Mormon should hear, I'd like to have him have a say so people can understand a little bit more of this other news. And but that does not make me Mormon, okay? What's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me right, Al?
Yeah, did I get that last out?
Oh, something's going on here, having technical problems tonight. I guess there's something in the air tonight. Don was telling me they had a power outage earlier, and then my call got dropped, and instead of waiting for him to call me back, I was running him up and down from the office. So there's opposition to what we're trying to do tonight. Yeah, you're talking about Ben Yosef, my friend.
Yeah, again, I'm not Mormon, but I don't know if
he's not either. He's not either.
Still, every religion, every denomination within religion have some news, and it's time we bring all the news out.
Yeah.
And this man,
well, everybody knows what a Jew is. He's a Joe. And he's going to be talking about the promises.
Okay, as long as people understand, I am dead set against any religion. I won't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They help me put a picture together, that's all.
Yeah.
So what are you going to talk about when you talk to,
I'm going to teach the relationship and prove the relationship between the Creator's Word, the Black Book, and, Indian. At least, I will be showing them a couple, maybe three things. Those who come on how to do things that Christ did, the things I've done, you can do also. Even more so, for I'm with you. So says he. And by golly, most of the medicine people are quite capable of doing a lot of that stuff, if not all. And I'm going to teach them how to do it, but I will not teach, anything that they cannot find in the Word of God. So the Indians got nothing to fear. I'm not teaching how to be a medicine man. I'm teaching them how to be a miraculous man.
That sounds like it's going to be fun. Well, the meeting's only 20 miles from where I live, so maybe we'll twist your arm and you can come stay at my place.
Maybe,
get a nice soft bed.
All right, let's go to these calls.
Yeah, if somebody wants to call in... I just want to let you know I have absolutely no idea what the call-in number is, because with all the...
How about John? Does he? Can he?
Hang on a second.
I can tell you what the number is for your audience. It's 877-876-5227.
5227. in the USA. Calling from Canada, call us at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. USA is 877-876-5227. And we're just all kinds of organized.
this is a little weird. All right, any phone calls? Any questions?
Anyway, Don will let us know if we may get a call or we might not. So tell us a little bit more about what you got in mind for the meeting at Fairview, Utah.
Well, Christ said, or the Bible says that Jesus knew their mind. That's quite simple. It's, he knew it to a greater degree than I'll teach, because if people want to know that, they're going to have to learn medicine ways, and I won't step on that. But I can go in the mind of a person and literally really know their mind. But I don't do that unless it's for healing work. And mainly because the mind should be a private affair. And we in Iowa, we're not peeking toms, you know.
Well, you grew up in the right town for it, didn't you?
Huh?
You grew up in the right town for it.
I don't know, but nevertheless.
Detroit's a pretty rough place to grow up back in the.
It's quite possible to go in. No, Dad just told me don't say what I was just about to say, so I won't say it. But, so be it, Dad. Oh, but, boy, I tell you, I'll teach them how to make phone calls, mental phone calls, mind to mind, and, mental telepathy, if you want. And, they will go into an exercise to do that. And,
interesting. Yeah, I know, Mad Bear Anderson used to be able to do what the Indians call travel without your suitcase.
Yeah. And the good old government, they haven't got enough trained people to get everybody's phone calls, so they can't break in on all those calls that people can do. And it can be around the world or around the universe if you want to. You know, it's just mind talk. And I'll actually teach that. But I'll explain invisibility and a few other things. You walk through the crowd unseen. See what I mean? Scripture. And the Indians, some of us know how to do that. And I will explain how to do it, because I'm not going to show a lot of things. I'm not there as a circus freak. And if I was, they'd better pay a lot more than $30 to come and hear me talk for 2 days. I'm going to share that the things you can rely on a tremendous amount of things that the good book says, and people throw it away thinking it's junk. Basically, there'll be a lot of that. And I'll chew out some rear ends because we all knew it. No, I need it, including myself. And so when I talk to somebody and I'm chewing them out, believe me, I'm chewing myself out too. I think you understand Blue Otter more about what I'm just said than the average Joe does. But, any calls?
Yeah, I haven't heard, I think I heard Don whispering there a minute ago. I don't know if there's another problem. What'd you say, Doc? Oh, go ahead. Go. So it sounds like we've got a caller. Caller, can you hear us?
I can't hear him.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, caller?
Is that Blue Otter?
Yeah, how are you? What's your name?
It's Dave.
Well, Dave from Australia. Yeah, you honky donk, you. How you doing, my brother?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah.
Just tried to listen in before, and it sounded like two chipmunks talking at extremely fast speed. It was hilarious, but now it seems it's working perfectly now.
Hey, hey. For the sake of the other listeners, Dave and I, Dave used to be a devout atheist. But this dude is calms my spirit, and he knows what I mean, because I get uptight and I share things with only two people, and Dave is the main of the two, and boy, he brings me right back and sets me down and says, "Listen, you dumb dumb," you know. He's a good helper, this old man.
Dave, I don't think you're calling from down under, but is everything fair dinkum?
Yeah, I'm in central Victoria, Australia right now.
Oh, are you? Are you calling in on Skype?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know you could do that. I was using Skype early in the show, and there was some kind of problem. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're in central Victoria. Let's see, which coast is that on? Up north?
No, it's the southeast.
I gotcha.
We're talking about Australia, listeners.
It's 60 miles northwest of Melbourne.
Oh, my. Well, say again, Riddell?
You say you wasn't expecting that, were you?
No, I sure wasn't. Yeah, I could go off on a tangent with Aboriginal prophecy right now, but you could just read it about it on my website, because I don't want to bore you. But anyway, so what do you think? Is there a consensus down there in the ANZAC? Australia, New Zealand, about who ought to be here. Oh, we don't want to get off on that. did you know that a group of 12 Peruvian shamans did a ceremony, and it was on the major news channels here there 2-3 days ago, and all but two of them were for Obama. They were out on the beach doing ceremony. It was really interesting.
Well,
that's not getting into politics. The one I wanted to run never gets on the ticket, so I don't vote. And the one I want to run is the creator, period. If the Jews hadn't said, "Hey, we want a man we can walk and talk to instead of you, Dad, so give us a man," and he told them what would happen, and they said, "We don't care, we want it," and from there on in, they've been in trouble ever since, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll come a time, but it'll come with a rod of iron too. It'll come.
That's interesting. Yeah. And of course, that rod of iron is talked about in the Book of Mormon. But in the Book of Mormon, it's something you grab a hold of, and actually, what it is, it's the direct connection with Creator, the personal revelation. What the Book of Mormon calls that rod of iron. Kind of puts a different twist on it, doesn't it?
But he's not going to take any BS.
Here we go.
You know,
that's the thing I like
about
you.
It's a double-edged sword with rod of iron, I think. You know, Dad spanked me once, and you know, I told my wife I wish he'd spank me and get it over with, and dang if the dingbat didn't do it, and literally lifted me up off of the chair, and my legs were out in front of me, and I don't know how high I went, but I was high enough to put my hands on my bum and land on my hands, and we're going to have connection with the Creator. Believe me. personal connection.
I think it's a description of what's going to happen is the water on the knee is going to quench our thirst because it's going to be so far up. Anyway, right. Well, you know, folks, I want to recommend everybody get Red Elk's Vision. You can go to redelk.org and there's a banner to click on. The younger people around here in 20s and 30s and younger, they all really resonated with it. They thought, wow, that is so cool.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
Your vision.
Right,
and what is it, greatvision.org or greatvision.com? I can't remember. But
no, just go to redelk.com and you can see the flyer.
.org.
Or go to Stuart C. Best. He's got another one that talks on the same subject, but the first one, the one we're talking about originally here, it was filmed in 11 and a half hours and got cut tremendously. So the other one picked up a lot of those cuts.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if in the first one I talked about the financial collapse, but I think I did on the second one. I was showing that. And,
need to get a link up to Stuart C. Best. Of course, you can just Google Stuart C. Best, and you can look. I think you can do a search for Red Elk's video. But
what is a YouTube?
YouTube is a place that people can. No, folks. The reason why he's asking this is he's on a modem. He's way out in the country at the end of the line. And YouTube, you need broadband for or cable or DSL, but it's a website where people upload videos, you know, 5-10 minutes, and some of them get millions of hits.
My granddaughter yesterday said, "I hear you on YouTube," and I said, "I've heard the same thing." And she's 19, I think, and it blew her away. She said, "You're famous." I said, "I am, kid."
Yeah, well, that's all you got to do. Go to Prophecy Keepers TV, prophecykeepers.tv, and I put together a little channel that's got a bunch of Red Elk's videos. And it's actually what happens is not, it wasn't me that pirated and cut this video up. I discovered it long after it was put up. But I just organized it in a place that where people can come and watch them in order. And there's prophecykeepers.tv's got some interesting stuff on it, some really cool videos.
Is Dave still on? Can you hear me?
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're forgetting about.
Don't worry about me. But I'd like to watch the movie of Red Elf's Vision. I'm not looking forward to the real thing.
Neither am I. Like I said, on Coast to Coast, stop the world and let me off, and let me take all the children with me. You know, it's gee, which we're in for. It's exciting, though, Dave. It's so exciting, and, you know, I practice what I preach. I tell people, you know, here's how we can all change it, but nobody's doing much about that, and, so, I'm also telling them prepared because not very many people are going to work on changing it. And as you know, Dave, you and I are both preparing. We've got some things that set aside. And for those listeners out there, by preparing, it means prepare to live without electricity, which means in most cases or many cases, no pumped-in water, right? And no electricity. Probably no jobs because you can't, there's no electricity for gas off and on, you know, and so no houses. Learn how to make a willow house, a willow hut with a home, a place to keep warm and out of the weather and gather around and stare at each other, really.
I got a friend who lives just over here about 10 miles that manufactures single, it's called monolayer foam, and he's put on this thin layer of foam, and he's gone and slept up on Mount Washington, you know, 50, 60, 80, 100 below, and this foam clothing, his website, I think, is, I'll think of it in a minute, but The foam keeps your body core temperature up so that your hands and head and feet don't get cold.
I think I've seen pictures of that, and yeah.
Prepare My Family. Preparemyfamily.com, I think it's called.
If what you're talking about and what I've seen, I wouldn't want to wear it. Hell, it's so darn thick. And how do you unzip it to take a leak? You know? I don't know.
Well, that's what the Wizenator's for.
All right. We won't go
into
that.
Yeah. He even sells something on his website. It's called the Wizenator. And it's for the ladies or maybe even the old men.
Ancient Eskimos, and even to today, the few that still wear it, their clothing, you know, they're short pants because they're not really, they don't go down to your ankles. They go down past your knees, and then the muckluck goes up past that. But they're out there in the Antarctic and Arctic type weather, and how do you strip the take a dump? I'm sorry, again, folks, I'm kind of honest. Well, they don't have a flap in the back. They got a split in the back that you just pull apart and squat and do your thing. I mean, the ancient ones have really learned, and we can learn from it. And the internet is full of ancient ways, and the libraries are full of ancient ways. And there's a difference. Well, no, but yeah, Dad. Boy, I tell you, Dad's really on the ball with me today. I was going to say something. Don't say that. That twit, he's a really smart cat. But I love him. And you're out of your tree if you don't spend, at least a half hour searching out survival living and stuff like that. And, How did the people manage without toilet paper? Well, the Roman armies and stuff, they had sponges on sticks. That's what they used. And shoot, sponges are cheap. Go and buy some dang sponges. And for the women on their moon time, get a sponge. Cut it into your pelvic type area shape. It'll work. Or go to the ancients who used moss from trees and grasses and stuff like that. It will work. But you white people are so dang, I don't know, go to the grocery store and get it. Well, good luck. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah,
well we're going to be facing those times again. Dave is aware of this. And, yeah, we're going to be facing those times, and those times might be just a few weeks from now. Some of those times.
Yeah.
Weeks, friends. And you haven't done diddly squat to prepare. You saved some food. How many can openers did you get? Any? You know, or is it one of those electric things? You could have sat there gnawing on a can to get it open. Come on, show up, get smart. I went out and I bought me off of the internet search a yoke, a carrying yoke, so I can carry 2 5-gallons of water rather comfortably on my shoulders. Beaver Bucket, it's called, beaverbucket.com. You can buy these things. And the poor women, my gosh, I can remember my mother with a tin a round tub type thing that you can go downtown and or if you're in the country at a ranch at home or something and buy this, put it over an open fire, heat the water and get a darn scrub board and learn to scrub clothes. Or if you don't like scrubbing clothes, then learn about a loincloth. You're going to go back, way back. And you haven't learned diddly squat, and you tell me you're prepared, you're out of your tree.
Yeah, there isn't any really way to prepare for.
I can't hardly hear you.
Well, I don't think there's any way to really prepare for what's coming.
Other than with that, like I told you, already told me basically, shut up two times. And,
yeah, I mean, there's some.
You can have that kind of connection. He can tell you to turn left and there's a bit of food over there, or turn right and there's a puddle of water over there, whatever.
Yeah, interesting. Well, let's see. Hey, everything's still fed income.
Yeah, mate.
So what do you think down under? What do you think about all this?
Well, honestly,
you can't think he's upside down.
Yeah, you're upside down. You can't think.
Brothers, it's going to bring us all together.
You know, it's really interesting to think that if we were close, I mean, you'd be standing one way, and you'd be standing at about a 270-degree angle from where we're standing. That's interesting how gravity works. I'm glad it works.
It's going back to tribal living.
Well, Dave, let's get you off of here, and let's let somebody else on. And Dave, thanks a bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, well, now you got elders down there that are teaching folks how to survive, don't you?
He just hung up. But
oh,
yeah,
did he?
He does.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. And Dave's got his daughter, I think, is half Aborigine. And Dave spent a lot of time living in New Zealand and stuff with Aborigines.
Well, I think Don's whispering in my ear. Don, yeah. I guess the show, say again, Don.
You ready for a commercial?
Well, I think we're ready for the end of the show is what it is. Right, Don? Okay, folks. Well, before we go, I promised our sponsor, secretsofanimmortal.com, and that's got Secrets of an Immortal. I'd like you folks to visit that. I read you information about his book at the beginning of the show, and I promised to do it twice. Well, this has been Prophecy Keepers Radio for November 1st, 2008. Thanks for listening, sorry about the technical problems tonight, but it was fun anyway. And thank you, Don. Good night now.
Let the truth be known to all mankind
speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.